there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. It's DFS Day, and we've got another smaller slate with two Saturday games going on. I'm Bobby Silvestro with Mike Tagliere, as always. Tags, whenever we record these shows right around lunchtime, I always end up super hungry by the end. Today, I ventured into new territory. I grabbed brunch. I've never eaten brunch before. I got this giant pulled pork sandwich with an egg on top. I'm ready to crush this thing, baby.
Oh my God, I'm truly jealous. I am sitting here with my low-carb monster, and I just had a hard-boiled egg. So that's basically what I'm going off of right now. That's my fuel for the show.
That is bad news. So are you saying like people should not trust your advice today?
No, I think you should. It's because like I've been doing nothing but focusing on this stuff all day. But seriously, I'm trying to get in a little bit better shape for when we get together to do the damn combine.
Our guest today is always fun. Davis Maddock of RotoWire.com and RotoViz.com. You can find him on Twitter at Davis Maddock. That's M-A-T-T-E-K. And Davis has a pinned tweet that I want to read y'all. He's responding to the question, I'm blank. In a blank's body for a basketball player. And Davis says he's post-moped accident Monte Ellis in Frodo Baggins' body. Davis, that's amazing, man. Thank you for joining the show.
I mean, it's just, if you've ever played pickup basketball with me, you know how incredibly accurate that is. It's like honestly, when you see it, you'll know.
Dags, I wanted to ask you this question, but for football. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about this. I'm going to go first. I'm Josh Cribbs. Do you remember him from the Cleveland Browns? I'm Josh Cribbs.
Oh, yeah.
In Rand Paul's body. So, Tags, you're up now.
Oh, my God. You can't put me on the spot with this. I got to think about this. We'll come back to it later in the show. Let me think about this for a moment, because this better not be like some kind
of way of you trying to weasel out of this. So, Davis, you're going to have to help me remember to put Tags back on the spot here.
I will, at the end of the show, I will do my best to bring it back up.
Okay, so let's get into it. Colts and Broncos play tonight, so that's out. Bears and Lions play Saturday, out. Chargers, Chiefs, out. Cowboys at Raiders Sunday night. Then the Falcons and Bucks are Monday night's game, so they're out too. That leaves just 11 games and 22 teams to work with, but there's plenty of value here. I love the way my cash game lineup looks this week. And that's where we're going to start, is cash games at quarterback, then running back, wide receiver, tight end, defense. Then back around talking about GPP. But first, I want to remind you all that we're doing a free roll thanks to DraftKings.com this week. $1,000 in prizes, no strings attached. Just go to fantasypros.com/DraftKings to enter. Okay, so Davis, I see a couple cash game quarterbacks who stand out to me, but who's on your radar this week?
I think the first guy is pretty obvious. It is Ben Roethlisberger playing at home in the 53 total game at 6,700 on DraftKings. And then also someone who's a little bit less obvious, Blake Bortles at 5,700 at home to the Houston Texans.
Love the Bortles one. He's definitely one of my two cash game quarterbacks. Now, Roethlisberger is someone that I was going to be on, but someone mentioned to me, I put out the primer this morning. If you guys haven't checked it out, do so. Someone mentioned to me, he's like, Mike, if you're predicting the over under this game to be like 70, I'm guessing you haven't heard the weather forecast for the game in Pittsburgh for Sunday. And I know that we're a couple days out. We're recording this on Thursday. We obviously have a few days. Sometimes weathermen can't tell that. But when you see a winter storm coming that's supposed to start soon and carry through into Sunday, they're saying it's a 70% chance of snow there on Sunday. And even leading up to it, it's supposed to be that way. So that's the only thing that concerns me about that. But Roethlisberger against this Patriots defense, there is nothing you can do to stop Antonio Brown right now. Juju Smith-Schuster's coming back to the lineup. They present so many problems because Martavis Bryant, even though he's not producing for fantasy purposes, he does stretch the field. He does give you something to think about on that back end of your defense. So what the Patriots typically do is they shade a safety over towards Antonio Brown or the number one receiver to help take him away, whereas Martavis Bryant one-on-one against Stephon Gilmore or Malcolm Butler isn't probably going to end well for them. So I definitely dig Roethlisberger. I would just definitely pay attention to the weather come Sunday morning. And that's just like on all these players, I think we should mention that. But if the weather is, you know, if there's under 20 mile an hour winds, if it's just a light dusting of snow, I am all over that game. Love that call. Bobby, what do you think about Roethlisberger and Bortles?
I mean, if it snows, I'm not playing him in cash games. There's no way. Even if there's a light dusting, that's not easy to play on. 12 mile per hour winds, that's probably enough to sway me off him. I mean, if it turns out nice weather, like we're talking about under 10 mile per hour winds, no snow, maybe a few flurries. Yeah, I'm playing Big Ben. He's my guy. But, you know, all these guys you've mentioned, Big Ben, Blake Bortles, I think they both make sense. Russell Wilson is probably my play at this point. I mean, he's by far the top projected quarterback of the week. He plays Sunday afternoon against the Rams. He's just on fire lately. The Rams have been pretty good against the pass, but Wilson's still going to pick up a lot of yards with his legs as well. And then I love Kirk Cousins as well because of what you said on the last show, Tags, if you want to share those stats again. It's amazing what Arizona's given up against East Coast offenses.
Yeah, so the thing is Cousins is fine. I like him for tournaments. I don't know if I'd use him for cash, understanding how bad his offensive line has played lately. I do think he's a solid play in season long and all that, but I'm surprised neither of you guys have mentioned, like, I think my top quarterback in cash, and that's Cam Newton. I'm not even a Cam Newton guy. Like, legitimately, I don't think he's a very good quarterback when it comes to throwing the ball. But with that being said, I don't think we need him to be this week against the Packers. The Packers, they're 9 of 13 quarterbacks this year have scored at least 14.9 fantasy points. Cam Newton has now rushed for at least 44 yards in 7 of his last 8 games. And for those of you keeping track at home, 44 rushing yards is more than a passing touchdown. In 4 of those games that I'm talking about, Cam Newton ran for 70 or more yards. They don't have a cornerback to hold up Devin Funchess, who's been doing phenomenal things against, honestly, much better secondaries than the Green Bay Packers. And on top of that, the Packers have allowed, I think it is the most, are the 7th most receiving yards to running backs on the season, which obviously plays into the Cam Newton McCaffrey relationship there and checking down. So with Cam, with Aaron Rodgers coming back, them putting points on the board, Cam Newton at home, there's not much to dislike here. Is there, Davis, is there anything you could do to talk me off Cam, or was he just someone that you'd rather just go down to Blake Bortles or pay up for Ben?
See, I would rather pay up for Ben, but I think if you're taking someone who with kind of questionable outputs right at that salary, why wouldn't you take Breeze with the actual highest team total of the week? Because the Saints have scored over 50% of their offensive touchdowns on the ground, and most NFL teams, the league average is like 36%. So just with some slight regression, just with some kind of normalization, you're going to see like a 4 touchdown first half is in play for Breeze here.
He's still playing great football, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's had he's been someone I've been screaming, say, grab for your fantasy playoffs and season long leagues. I still think he's a solid play. I just don't know, like, the realistic possibility that the Jets hang around this game with Bryce Petty. I mean, it's possible that Bryce Petty throws 2 pick sixes and the Saints just sit on the ball. Drew Brees throws for 200 yards and 1 touchdown. Like, that's my concern with Brees. I do think he's a phenomenal tournament play. Like, you guys have hit on that. A few players now that are on my tournament list, Cousins and Brees are like 2 of my favorite plays. You don't have to worry about weather with Brees, and that's a nice thing. So I don't think that him at 6,500 on DraftKings is a bad play at all. I just think that Newton, you get the same floor as you do with Breeze, but the ceiling with Newton, you know, running for a touchdown, throwing for two, like, I think his ceiling is a little bit higher with Rodgers back in the lineup.
Tags, I'm concerned about Cam Newton. Like, you're right. That is a ton of rushing yards he's been getting lately. But here's his passing yards since week six. 239, 211, 154, oh, yeah. 137, 254, and then the last 3 weeks, 168, 183, 137. He hasn't thrown 30 passes in a game since week 10. I mean, the floor is, it's nice because of the running, but I don't think it's high enough, man.
But he hasn't scored fewer than 15 fantasy points since back in week 8. So that's what I'm saying. Things have come together for him. I think he's honestly played better as a quarterback without Kelvin Benjamin. Like, if you go through his numbers, like his MVP season that he had, it was without Kelvin Benjamin. Like, he plays better without him for whatever reason. Maybe Kelvin Benjamin just holds up an offense. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. But I just think that the floor is too good to pass up, man.
The other player that I'm actually considering here, and I mentioned it earlier in the week, and if there wasn't so much value at other positions, Nick Foles would be my top pick for sure. He's $6,000 on FanDuel. He's still got all the weapons. He's going up against the Giants. Nick Foles has been a decent quarterback in the NFL. At $6,000 against the Giants with this offense, I think he's definitely in play.
Ugh, I don't want anything to do with Nick Foles. I mean, I understand the logic. It's the Giants. But at the same time, the Giants defense has held Derek Carr to they held him to one touchdown week 13. You go back to week 11. They held Alex Smith to no touchdowns while they were playing at home. I'm expecting the weather in New York not to be great throwing conditions. I just think that they want to run the ball a ton. It's very possible that you could be right. I mean, Davis, are you on Bobby's side here, or would you not touch Foles?
No, I actually am on Bobby's side.
Yes.
Nice.
I think that Foles has done a couple things. The first is that he's established a baseline of competency. His worst year was with Jeff Fisher. I think, you know, that can be excused, right? Like, we've seen Jared Goff go from looking like he looked like the worst quarterback in football. Now he like is like kind of on the outskirts of the MVP conversation, especially now that Wentz is injured. If you look at their weapons, they have the deep threat and Torrey Smith, solid slot guy, Nelson Agholor, real wide receiver one, and Alshon Jeffrey, legitimate tight end, and Zach Ertz with backup Burton spelling him. They have two pretty talented running backs at the roles that they're cast in. I would actually feel a little bit better about Foles if Sproles was healthy, but the biggest thing about the Giants, and I think that us sort of analytics minded people kind of ignore stuff like this, but the Giants have quit, right? Like, they've completely quit trying, and the decision to go back to Eli after benching him for Geno Smith and ruining his start streak, I mean, they've stopped trying to make decisions to win football games. Like, the rest of the season is a complete charade for them, and I think that the players know it.
Oh, I agree with you. I actually said this, is I'm not usually one that buys into that, but I do think that they've quit. Firing Ben McAdoo, obviously, I think would help matters, but at the same time, they just allowed Dak Prescott to go for 330-3. But the concern here in cash, especially, what about the concern that the Eagles defense plays really well against the Giants offense, which is very, very likely to happen? And then you have Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount, and Corey Clement. Those guys running the ball extremely well, and Nick Foles throws the ball 20, 25 times. Like, they just want to escape this game with a win. It's on the road. It's a divisional game. They're obviously closer than usual. That's my concern. And Bortles, again, Bortles is only $200 more expensive. Like, I'm definitely paying for Bortles. It's just his price. If he was down at like $4,500, I would consider him in cash. I just don't think that his price is low enough for me.
Right, like if he was like the DeShone Kizer price or whatever, then yeah.
Correct. Yeah, like the 4,900 last week, that was beautiful, and like that was a given. Like, we talked about it here, saying that Kizer was like a lock in cash. So definitely feel like a lot of us, we're kind of on the same page here. There's a lot of good plays this week, and I think we can all agree on that. That's why cash is pretty, it's pretty easy at the quarterback position this week. But let's talk some running backs. Bobby, who are your favorite cash game plays at running back?
Man, I have three cash game plays at running back that I love. Like, my three favorite plays overall in the last 5 weeks. I'm going to have to pick two of them in FanDuel. Obviously, I can use all three in DraftKings. But, you know, they're all very cheap, which is why I'm willing to spend up at quarterback. I mean, obviously, there's some great options at running back as well that are more expensive, with Le'Veon Bell against New England, Todd Gurley, even against Seattle. Todd Gurley's just been so good, and he's $1,000 cheaper than Bell. He's even $700 cheaper than Kamara. But my three guys, Kenyon Drake, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a superstar, but he could be a borderline superstar. This is a very good NFL running back, and he's just $6,500 against the Bills. The other two guys, I've talked about them quite a bit in all my articles in previous podcasts this week. Jay Ajayi has been getting a bump in carries every single week. He was up to 16 last week. He might get up to 20, maybe 25 this week against the Giants with Carson Wentz out. He's $6,100. He's really good. I don't know if he's really good, but he's really good behind this offensive line. And then Mike Davis. I know he's questionable right now, and that's going to scare some people off, but he's been pretty good against the Jags and against the Eagles, who are the two best the two best run stoppers in the league in the past 5 weeks. And now he gets the Rams, who can't tackle. They give up a bunch of yards to running backs, and he's $5,800. So I'm going to have a really hard time picking between those three.
So let's do process of elimination here. I think Jay Ajayi is out. I don't trust him in cash. I don't trust any Eagles running back in cash. I mean, like I mentioned it on last show, is that Doug Peterson, ever since he took over there, there's only been three occasions where a running back has played more than 60% of the snaps, and every time was Darren Sproles. So considering that Jay Ajayi, we know he's going to play less than 60% of the snaps, there's no possibility he gets 25 carries. Like, it's zero. It's a 0% chance for me. Like, I think he's going to, I think he maxes out at like 18 carries, and that's not a bad number at all, but there's just too much risk into it. I do like Mike Davis, but I think my favorite call of those is Kenyon Drake. He's like he played on Monday night, so therefore his price doesn't reflect what it would have had it been priced, you know, if he played on Sunday. If he had, his price would be up, I would say, probably $7,200 on DraftKings. And people would still consider playing him against the Bills because they've allowed 11 rushing touchdowns in their last six games. Davis, what are your thoughts on those three running backs?
Well, I definitely would not trust any Eagles running back. I just don't. It doesn't even really feel that necessary. Like, I feel like there are enough good plays that it just, and maybe I'm not a FanDuel guy, so it's possible that maybe I'm missing something with roster construction this week. But I think when you have Bell, Kamara, Ingram, Drake, potentially Giovanni Bernard, pending what happens with Mixon, Alex Collins, like, it just kind of feels unnecessary.
Yeah. Wait, you're considering Alex Collins against Cleveland?
Oh yeah, he's actually one of my favorites as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think I would prefer Bernard in the scenario in which Mixon does not play. I tend to believe that Cleveland's raw number, or not their raw numbers, but their efficiency numbers tend to be a little bit of a misnomer because of the fact that they are always in a negative game script, so the volume's always going to be there for opposing running backs.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
It's true. And like, when you go through, this was something I did 4 weeks ago, roughly 4 weeks ago, I went through and looked at what they had allowed and who they'd played. And like, when you start going through the schedule, they played Terrence West early in the schedule, Frank Gore, Joe Mixon behind that line with Jeremy Hill mixed in, Bilal Powell, Lamar Miller, DeMarco Murray. Like, they weren't playing very good opponents. So when you kind of look at the schedule as they've gone on, the better the competition gets, the better you feel about running backs. Like, Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon over the last 4 weeks against them have been able to total over 110 yards rushing. They've allowed, I think, four rushing touchdowns in their last six games. So they started to show signs of weakness. And on top of that, Alex Collins is averaging 18.8 touches per game over the last six games. Like, anytime you can get a running back getting that much carries at home as a massive favorite and at $5,000, yeah, like, Alex Collins is one of my favorite plays at the position.
That's a great price on DraftKings. I mean, he's a little more expensive on FanDuel, but you guys are talking me into it quite a bit.
Well, and he's just been good.
Davis, is there anybody else that you want to mention for cash games at running back position? I think that we've hit on some of the big ones.
No, I mean, I guess I would just like to really impart that I think that Drake is, like, he will be the highest owned player in cash this week. And I don't really see a scenario for fading him. I think even in like the DraftKings live finals this weekend. And I think that if I was in it, there's like no way I would be creating a team without him.
Agreed. And is there any chance, like, Bobby, I'll ask for your opinion here. Is there any chance that you would debate playing Rex Burkhead? And I get it. It's a Patriots running back, but we're talking about a game that's supposed to have the highest over under, a guy that contributes in the passing game, in the running game. He's getting all the goal line carries. He's now scored at least 16 PPR points in each of the last 3 weeks. The Steelers run defense without Ryan Shazier over the last 2 weeks has allowed 152 yards to the Ravens, 111 yards to the Bengals. Like, there's plenty of reasons to get excited about Burkhead here, right, Bobby?
If you say so. I mean, I understand he's a decent play and everything, but like, he's probably 12th on my list He got 5 carries last week. He got 5 carries last week. I'm not playing him in a cash game.
And he still hit value. That's what I'm talking about. Now, Davis, are you, that's what I'm saying. Am I off my rocker? I'm always willing to bounce things off people and see, you know, what smart people are thinking. So am I crazy to think Burkhead, he still delivered value last week, even though he did only total 5 carries?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're a little crazy to suggest that he is a cash play. I don't think that there's any, he would not touch my cash lineups almost for sure. Just because I think that there's been so much roulette going on with those running backs week by week. Like, yes, Gillislee is removed from the equation, but the fact that Deion Lewis was put in a grinder role at certain points this year means that they have the flexibility to kind of do anything. And if there was one running back I would use as like a core play in tournaments this week for them, it would definitely be Lewis. Like, I would put him over Burkhead just because he has more versatility for them, I think.
Wow. Well, that's the thing, is just like, I want to gauge this. I want to see where he's at ownership wise, because if Burkhead's underowned in tournaments, like, he's game script proof. And if there's snow, like, knowing he gets the goal line carries, that's fantastic. And I don't think that any Patriots running back is a bad play in a tournament, because they can always score 2 touchdowns. Like, even James White, he's a player that could just surprise anybody at any moment. So definitely wanted to hit on him. Bobby, is there anybody else you wanted to mention at the running back position? Any really cheap plays that you'd be considering if someone's trying to save some money at the position?
Not super cheap for cash games. I mean, I already talked about the 3 that I'm really considering here. And I think you're right. I think Ajayi is the odd man out because of, you know, the Eagles being so difficult with who's going to get carries and everything. But I think his price is great. We didn't talk too much about Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley. Even Alvin Kamara, he's really expensive for me, so I'm not really considering him. But a lot of people are. So, Davis, I want to know how you distinguish between these 3. Like, if you have to choose one, maybe you could get 2 of them into your lineup. Which one would you pick?
I mean, Bell is the best. Kamara, I think there's actually real risk with him this week in ways that there has not been risk in the last weeks, and that they're 16-point favorites. They're in a playoff race. They need Kamara definitely for week 16, probably for week 17, and they're against Bryce Petty at home. So I think that there's a real chance that Ingram just gets all most of the work, and that Trey Edmonds could actually be spelled in a little bit, because there's simply no reason for a guy returning from a concussion to get his full volume when they're just going to win this game.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara is a little bit risky in cash for me, for sure. Le'Veon Bell is worth the price of admission. Like, if you're not playing Le'Veon Bell, I don't know why. I guess you'd be spending up at a wide receiver, but there's really not any plays at wide receiver this week that I really want to spend up on the main slate. So, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is, I'll let you know, if you run into me in a head-to-head or something like that, I will have Le'Veon Bell in my cash lineup. Like, that's happening. Le'Veon Bell, Kenyon Drake, and probably Alex Collins. Now, I want to mention, nobody's talked about this, and rightfully so, I think, because we have no reason to think Matt Forte is going to miss this game. But let's pretend for a second that Matt Forte misses this game. He missed practice yesterday. He's been dealing with this knee issue all season long. Let's pretend that Matt Forte is announced as inactive. Would you play Bilal Powell at 4,000 at the Saints?
Maybe. If I decide to spend on tight end, he is a potential flex play. I think that you have to believe that. But the fact is, we've been in this scenario before, and McGuire ended up getting a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think that would be somewhat of a timeshare, but we did see Bilal Powell work with Bryce Petty last year. I think there was a game in there where he totaled like over 10 receptions. So there is a history there with Bryce Petty. So I do wonder if Matt Forte's out, it's something I'm going to look to on Sundays. It's just another reason to make sure you follow all of us on Twitter, just to make sure. So on Sunday mornings, I'll often try and tweet out things like this. If there's weather concerns or if there's an injury that majorly impacts everything, obviously check us out there. But Bobby, let's have you kick us off at wide receiver. Let's talk wide receivers. Who are the, if you're paying up at wide receiver, let's start there. Which wide receivers would you be targeting?
Yeah, I'll talk about that here in just a second. But first, a word from the sponsor of today's show, TeamRankings.com. College bowl season starts on Saturday, everybody. So if you're in a college bowl pick'em contest or planning to bet on some bowl games, go check out TeamRankings.com. TeamRankings offers data-driven picks for college football bowl pick'em pools, plus spread picks, over-under picks, and more. We may be the fantasy pros, but these guys are the office pool pros. Last year, their customers won college bowl pick'em pools and confidence pools 5 times more often than expected. Picks for all bowl games are posted and available now. Just go to teamrankings.com/fantasypros for exclusive discounts of up to 75% plus free offers on 2017 bowl picks. Again, that's teamrankings.com BetOnline.ag/fantasypros. You know, if I'm spending up at wide receiver, it obviously depends on the snow, but we're talking about Big Ben being a cash game play at quarterback. It's Antonio Brown, right? I mean, there's other plays that I like. Devontae Adams is my favorite play on this slate with Aaron Rodgers coming back, but it's all about Antonio Brown for me. He is the number one guy I'm building my lineup around this week.
What do you think about that, Davis? Is there any concern for you with him going against New England and Belichick, the way he schemes against number one receivers, or is Antonio Brown just playing out of his friggin' mind and there's no way that you can avoid him?
No concern at all. I don't think that in the context of cash games on DraftKings this week, you like are going to lose for sure if you don't play him, or that you're making a non-optimal lineup just because there's a little bit less value this week. And also just the reintroduction of Bell into the slate changes the way you have to construct lineups, because he hasn't been there for the last month. You haven't had to deal with a running back over $9,000 for the last month on DraftKings. But yeah, Brown is clearly the best play. I can't, there's no logical argument to not taking him in cash games.
Yeah, he's 9,100 on DraftKings, so he's pricey. You're essentially looking for him to, you know, score something like 23 points in order for him to hit value, 23, 24 points, a number he's definitely capable of hitting. I went back and looked at his history against the Patriots, and he's done just fine in those matchups. So I don't think there's any reason you need to avoid him. I also don't know if I would need to spend that money. I think I'd rather spend the 9,300 on Bell and then pay down at wide receiver. My favorite play is Michael Thomas. You know, you talked about Drew Brees and the fact that, you know, this matchup suits him well. Obviously, it's the pass funnel against the Jets, who have really struggled against number one wide receivers as of late. Morris Claiborne, ever since the bye, he's allowed Devin Funchess 7 catches for 108 yards, Tyreek Hill 6 catches for 185 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then Demaryius Thomas last week 8 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Michael Thomas had his, I don't want to call it a breakout game last week, but it was a solid game. 10 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. We've been waiting for those touchdowns to start piling up. He's now caught 2 of them in the last 2 games. I still think that there's a 2-touchdown game somewhere in here. This could be it against the Jets. So him at 7,400, I think I'd rather play him than pay up for Brown. Davis, what do you think about Michael Thomas?
So, I mean, the obvious concern with Michael Thomas is that they are 16-point favorites. Yeah, they have a gigantic team total, but if he doesn't do it in the first half, is he going to do it at all? Like, that just has to be a real concern that you have. I actually, my like hot take for the week is that even against Jacksonville, I think Hopkins is kind of the best mid-tier play.
You think wow. So? Even with TJ Yates under center?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that the math of the situation is that their offense is passed to Hopkins first, second, and third. We saw Hopkins have, I think it was 12 targets against Patrick. Oh, actually only 9 targets against Patrick Peterson. Didn't even convert half of his targets into receptions, but did score a touchdown. Did have like an insane amount of air yards that week. And I mean, how much worse is TJ Yates than Savage? Like, realistically, how much worse is he? Like, I don't think there's an ocean between the two of them.
It's a good point. And that's the thing is, like, DeAndre Hopkins, his numbers haven't really suffered, even going from Deshaun Watson to Tom Savage. He actually averages more yards per game with Tom Savage. So, Bobby, what do you think? Like, let's go through these priced receivers here. Let's pretend that Antonio Brown's out of the conversation. Between Adam Thielen, Michael Thomas, and DeAndre Hopkins, which one would you play, Bobby?
Oh, it's Thomas, and it's not even close. I'm not really considering the other two. I know Cincinnati's pass defense has been a lot worse lately, but, you know, Adam Thielen, $500 less expensive than Michael Thomas against the Jets, that's not doing it for me. I mean, there are some mid-range plays that I really like, but I'm planning on having Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas in all my cash game lineups.
Well, so yeah, I mean, I like Michael Thomas. I also think Adam Thielen's a solid play. Like, if you really don't want to play Michael Thomas, Thielen against the Bengals, it looks like Dre Kirkpatrick is going to miss this game again, forcing Darkeese Dennard to go out to the perimeter and then playing like a backup level slot cornerback. And that's just not going to get it done against Thielen. Thielen has been phenomenal. Like, he's been so good this year. There's really no reason for you to avoid him. What about Fitz? Let's talk about Fitz for a second. Davis, are you on Fitz? I know a lot of people were last week, and it was a great matchup. This is another great matchup against Washington, who really struggles with slot receivers. But I think we finally saw last week where when you have Blaine Gabbert, you're going to have down games as Larry Fitzgerald.
I can't. I had Gabbert last week. I had Fitz last week. After watching Gabbert take like 8 sacks, I just like, I can't. I can't do it. I just, I actually think that my favorite mid-tier play this week, sticking to me taking exclusively good wide receivers against elite cornerbacks, AJ Green, is he's just too cheap at 6,500. And Xavier Rhodes is good, but he's not, you know, he's not Revis in his prime, right? Like, he's just not.
Revis Island.
And Green has 28 targets each of the last 2 weeks. They're underdogs in this game. They're on the road. The game script is going to call for them passing. And I think his floor is what he did last week in that blowout against Chicago, which is like 5 for 60.
So you would play him in cash? Like, I understand the tournament appeal. I really do. Because I think AJ Green, no matter how good you think Xavier Rhodes is, I think AJ Green's a better receiver than Xavier Rhodes is a cornerback. So I'm definitely down with that logic. I'm not even a start your studs guy like all the time, but AJ Green is an elite player. So I definitely like him, but you'd play him in cash at 6,500?
I think he's actually even a better cash play than he is a tournament play, because I think the thing that happens against these elite corners is the ceiling for these wide receivers goes way down just because they're not going to be open as often. They probably get diverted away from two or three of their usual targets. But DraftKings, whatever they're doing with their algorithm, really weights in these cornerback matchups a ton. We saw Hopkins, he was 6,100 against Patrick Peterson that week. Like, they really crush these guys' salaries against these elite corners. And no corner is so dominant in the NFL right now to make a wide receiver, you know, $1,500 cheaper than they need to be.
Yeah. No, Bobby, what do you think about, so are you down with AJ Green there, or would you rather go and even actually let's say Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson's got Aaron Rodgers back. Would you rather go Jordy Nelson at $200 cheaper, or go to Davante Adams, who is right around that price range? Which way would you go, Bobby?
I'm not even the least bit interested in AJ Green for cash games. I mean, he's played two elite cornerbacks this year, and he's gone for 80 yards, no touchdowns, and that's not very good. He's had 5 bust games already. That's not a top 36 wide receiver 5 times this season. That's like LeSean McCoy territory, who I don't play in cash games unless there's a ton of snow, right? But it's Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes is the best. I'm not playing him. I already talked about Davante Adams. He's in my cash game lineups for sure. I'm not super interested in Jordy Nelson just because it's, you know, he was very good getting all those touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers, but I'd like to see it first before I play him in cash games. The other one I'm considering is actually Devin Funchess going up against Green Bay. He's been so good since Kelvin Benjamin left.
He has been really good. And as I mentioned, Cam Newton's played better without Kelvin Benjamin. So Funchess is in play. But as for Nelson and Adams, I think both can be played. I mean, you go back a couple weeks ago against Carolina, Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse both totaled more than 100 yards, scored 3 touchdowns between the two. So I think that both of them are in play this week. And if you want to go down, let's talk some wide receivers. Like, if somebody wants to save some money, let's say they paid up for Bell, they paid up for Michael Thomas. What about the cheaper plays? I think that Jamison Crowder at 5,600 is going to be in my cash game lineup.
Awesome play.
Knowing that Josh Doctson's going to match up with Patrick Peterson, that's going to be a matchup to avoid. And then you have the Cardinals, who can get after the quarterback with the combination of the offensive line in Washington. I just think he's going to have to get the ball out of his hands. Samaje Perine is not known to be, you know, Chris Thompson or anything like that. So I do think that Jamison Crowder, who has averaged 9.2 targets per game over the last, I think it's last 6 games he's played. I just think he's a relatively very, very, especially in DraftKings where it's PPR. Davis, who's one of your favorite wide receivers in that territory? And what do you think of Jamison Crowder?
I think Crowder is interesting, although I've been trying to think about this all week. Who is Patrick Peterson going to be on? Like, it doesn't make sense to me, though, because the whole value in having a shutdown corner is forcing the opposing offense to do something different than they already do. And Doctson barely has, what, like a 13% market share of their targets, even though he's playing all these snaps. Like, I don't necessarily know how much sense it makes for them to... I don't think Peterson will shadow anyone. I think he'll just play aside.
So would you say Doctson's a good play?
Yes. I wrote up Doctson this week under the supposition that he's played 92% or more of the snaps for each of the last month. And I don't see the value that Arizona would be adding by making Doctson a shadowed player this week. I think it makes more sense to have him either be on Crowder to force them out of those short, quick throws that Cousins uses to get in rhythm. But I think I mean, maybe Peterson just does it because it's comfortable for the Arizona defense, but it doesn't make a ton of like intuitive football sense to me.
Yeah, he hasn't traveled into the slot, which is the reason that I think Crowder's off limits. Like, it's either that Peterson shadows Doxson or he just plays his side. He just sticks to right cornerback and that's where he's at.
He's gone in the slot before, though. Maybe not this year, but I know he's done it.
He did for Diggs. Like, he did it when there was a clear cut, like, can't miss slot. Like, Diggs was really hot when they came into their matchup last year. And I remember that game because it was like, are they going to use Peterson in the slot? And Bruce Arians said, we'll put him wherever we have to stop that guy. We haven't heard that about Jamison Crowder, and I don't think that they view him as, like, that much of a threat. It would make sense to me. It absolutely would make sense. But at the same time, Tremon Williams and Patrick Peterson, those are going to be the outside corners. They're going to be the perimeter ones, whereas Tyrann Mathieu, over the last 2 years, has allowed a 71% catch rate out of the slot. And that's the thing. Tyrann Mathieu, he can't really play outside. Like, he's not going to cover Josh Doxson, because if that happens, they're just going to torment them in a different way. So I think the matchup for Crowder, and I understand what you're saying, but I don't think there's any way that they put Peterson in the slot. Who else would you consider in this price range if you didn't want to play Crowder? Would you consider like Chris Hogan at 5,500?
I think Hogan is like kind of a lock for me. I think people are going to look at what he did last week and they're going to say he had, you know, one catch, 5 targets, 1 yard. Like, I think that, but he played 92% of the snaps in his first week back from injury, and it was a shoulder injury. And that means he was able to keep his cardiovascular shape. It means he was able to run. It means he was able to do drills. Like, he's been with the team. It's not like an ankle injury or something that, you know, he's going to have to play his way back into shape from. And you're going to want a part of this Patriots offense, and he's the most accessible part with the most clear and defined
100%.
Role.
And Joe Hayden, I don't know if Joe Hayden's coming back this week. I don't think he is. I know he returned to practice, but he's coming back from a broken leg. He's someone who hasn't been able to keep up with the cardio. So it seems like Cody Sensabaugh is the cornerback that's going to match up with Chris Hogan the majority of the time. He's 5'11. He's throughout the entirety of his career, he's allowed a 104.4 quarterback rating.
That's
including including a touchdown every 7 targets this season. So Chris Hogan is like a very sharp play, and I think that his ownership will be low. If he had scored a touchdown, remember that touchdown he caught against the Dolphins, but it was ruled out of bounds. If he had come down with that touchdown, it would have bumped Chris Hogan's ownership like 5% this week. But if the weather is solid in Pittsburgh, I am going to be all over Chris Hogan. I would probably play him over Crowder, but I actually think that I'll end up with both of them in my lineup.
You know, there's one more mid-range play that I like. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know why we haven't mentioned him yet. He's going up against the Pats. But if I'm spending down, there's really only two guys I'm considering here. Dede Westbrook going up against Houston. He's 5,700 on FanDuel. And then Corey Coleman, and that might surprise some people, 5,900 against Baltimore. But, you know, Coleman, don't forget, he's very, very good. I think he showed that a little bit last week. And for this price, it's just too cheap.
Did you say he's 50? Oh, he's 4,400 on DraftKings. Yeah, he's a lot cheaper. I don't think it's a bad matchup, but I wouldn't play him in cash. I don't think you need to do that. I think I'd rather play.
I'm not playing him in cash. I mean, he's like my 7th or 8th wide receiver, but he's someone I think worth mentioning.
Okay. Is there anybody else that you'd consider here, Davis, in cash at wide receiver?
Not so much in the mid tier. I think Rishard Matthews, a lot of people are going to be off of him. He's been hurt. He had the Patrick Peterson treatment last week, but whole different beast, against the 49ers this week. Maybe some consideration to, Randall Cobb at 4,900. And then I think, Dede Westbrook, actually, if you're looking to stack Bortles with someone, for me it's Westbrook, just because he can turn, you know, a pretty bad Bortles pass into a long touchdown.
He absolutely can. I had Westbrook down. I'm a little weary about it in cash, but I do have him on my sheet here, so I'm not.
He's probably a little overpriced.
Agree. Yeah,
agree.
He's
I would like
best
to see him
play,
like 45, 47.
Yeah, I think he's a solid play. Guys, there are no solid plays at tight end. Like, we get Zach Ertz coming back and everything, but he's $7,900 against the Giants. I mean, it's a great matchup and everything, and that's who I'm going to play, but that just tells you how bad the rest of the position is. Davis, who are you targeting at tight end this week? Is there someone I'm missing here?
I mean, I'm very likely to go cheap. I do like Jimmy Graham this week, just because I think the stink will be on him from last week. But Jacksonville forces teams into things that they are uncomfortable with. And I think Graham is still the best touchdown scorer on the Seahawks in terms of wide receiver. And guess how many non-Russell Wilson influenced touchdowns the Seahawks offense has scored this year, Tag?
One.
Yep, JD McKissick.
McKissick run. Yeah, so I think that anytime you're projecting their team total, you have to basically assume it's all coming through the air. So I think Graham is probably solid. Maybe some consideration to going back to Anderson, just because he'll be closer to the line of scrimmage. Those throws are easier for Yates to make. Seals Jones, and same for Jesse James coming off his best ever
game. Jesse James is the other guy on my radar.
You guys didn't mention Gronk, and I know that the Steelers have been good against tight ends, but without Shazier, it changes things a little bit. And Gronk in his career against the Steelers, by the way, and you often don't want to say, well, they did this against a team 3-4 years ago, because it's a different team, right? But at the same time, Mike Tomlin was the head coach. He's been the head coach for a long time. Gronk against the Steelers in his career has averaged 6 receptions for 99 yards and 1.6 touchdowns per game. Like, He's been really good against them. So, I mean, it is a tougher matchup, but I don't think you can overlook Gronk coming back from his suspension. But you guys didn't mention two players.
I don't do narratives, by the way. But with Gronk, I will do a narrative all day, because that's who Gronk is, right? He's coming off a suspension. You don't think he's going to be angry?
But he knows he should have been suspended. He said that he was wrong, and like, so I don't think he's mad about it or anything like that. I think he.
Well, I wish
he
was mad, because then I would definitely play him.
You guys didn't mention Ben Watson against Cleveland. Like, I don't like Ben Watson. I hate him, as a matter of fact. He had one target last week, but it was against the Steelers, who have done well against tight ends. But against the Browns, like, don't we have to consider anybody an option at 3,800?
I mean, his maximum is 3 receptions this week. Maybe one or two of those will be a touchdown, but that's what you have to hope for. Otherwise, he's going to get you 20 yards.
Davis, how about him or Charles Clay? I think Clay's a play too.
Yeah, probably Clay, even though
I like Clay.
Probably not touching anyone from Buffalo. The Peterman project, it's not great.
he's in concussion protocol, so Tyrod's going to play this week.
Well, I thought Tyrod was in concussion protocol.
No, he got out. He was practicing yesterday. Okay. So I'm almost positive Tyrod's playing, and I think he's starting. So it helps Charles Clay. And he hasn't looked the same ever since his knee surgery in the middle of the year. Since that time, he's only topped 27 yards once. But this matchup against the Dolphins, it's a fantastic one. The Dolphins have really struggled with tight ends this year.
Davis, we never talk kickers, but I'm curious, like, what strategy do you actually put into kicker when you're building a lineup?
Put him in the garbage.
I just always take Robbie Gold.
Yeah, goes Gold.
That's a great strategy.
Like, I don't play much on FanDuel, but when I do, it's just always Robbie Gold.
Okay.
And by the way, can we start considering, I mean, like, this is totally not on the main slate, so it's not a question that I guess I should probably pose, but I do want to mention it, because we didn't talk about it this week, is that O.J. Howard is now the starting tight end for the Bucs, if you guys haven't noticed. Cameron Brate went down to 35% of snaps in week 14, his season low. It's been going down for 4 straight weeks. O.J. Howard, here's O.J. Howard's yardage in games where he's seen at least 4 targets. 63, 98, 52, 52, 54. Like, O.J. Howard's really good, and he's starting to play like over 75% of the snaps. So if he was on the slate, I would definitely consider him for cash, because, like, I'm serious, is that he's a very sharp play, because people still rank on our ECR right now. Cameron Brate is still ranked higher than O.J. Howard,
yeah,
and he's playing
crazy.
Half the snaps. So it's just something to note. I know it's not on the main slate, but let's talk.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing about O.J. Howard. If you play him in a cash game, you've got a 50-50 chance of ruining your entire lineup with your tight end, because he's going to get 1 point 50% of the time.
Wait a second. Did you see who finished his top 12 tight ends last week? That 0 point floor, which I don't think exists with O.J. Howard with how much he's playing, but with that, there's legitimately so many tight ends that, like, Jimmy Graham had a 0 last week.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, but Ertz and Gronk, what are they going to do? Their floor is probably, what, 5-6 points?
I mean, Ertz has a great matchup.
Also 3 times more expensive. It's a good point. I don't know. Him and Watson make me really nervous. But let's move on over to defense. And there are a lot of good options here this week. Like, usually there's one good option, and it's Jacksonville. But now they're $5,900. I'm sorry, not $4,900. They're $5,900 on FanDuel. I still want to play them, because it's against TJ Yates, but there's so many other good plays that I don't think I'll end up playing them. Davis, I'm curious who your top plays are here.
I probably want to go cheap on DraftKings this week just because, again, like, we're getting Le'Veon Bell back. We're getting Antonio Brown back. So it does kind of change the complexion. And the cheap defense that I was looking at was the Dolphins at 2,700 against Tyrod or Peterman. I'm guessing it will probably be snowy. But I also think the Eagles against this sort of hapless Giants team are and the thing about the Eagles and the Rams defense is they're so opportunistic. They're so good at generating scoring opportunities on defense. Like they block punts, they get interceptions, they force a lot of fumbles. Like that's what I'm really looking for with a defense.
Tex, you've got to love the Saints against the Jets, the Ravens at Cleveland, Minnesota face Cincinnati. Do you like one of those?
Yeah, I was just about to say Minnesota is probably, if I want to go down a little bit, I'll go down to 3,500 for the Vikings. They're at home. They're a favorite. The Bengals offensive line is potentially a bottom 5-1 in the NFL. Andy Dalton looked bad last week. Again, AJ Green matched up with Xavier Rhodes. Is it a matchup that I would avoid at all costs? No. But at the same time, you know, Davis talked about it. We're limiting his ceiling. So therefore, who is he going to go to? Brandon LaFell sucks. Tyler Kroft has been forgotten in the offense. It seems like Joe Mixon might miss another week with this concussion. So there's a lot of questions here about Cincinnati's offense. Their defense is awful. So there should be ball control. We might see a few late Dalton picks in that game. There's just so much pressure that the Vikings bring to opposing quarterbacks. So the Vikings are my favorite. I think that the Ravens are an awesome play because I think some people will either go cheap or they're going to pay up for the Jags. But the Ravens at home against Cleveland, fantastic. Fantastic.
We still
matchup.
Haven't mentioned my favorite. My favorite's the Tennessee Titans. I've been writing this everywhere. 20 sacks in the past 3 weeks. San Francisco does not have much of an offensive line. We haven't seen Jimmy G under pressure. They're not giving up 20 points per game to anybody lately. I mean, you think about Marcus Mariota and how bad he's been playing, and you've got to wonder, like, how are the Titans still in this playoff race? Well, it's because they've given up 16, 22, 9, 20, 20. They give up 40 points to Pittsburgh, but then 16, 13, and 12, they're not giving up any points. They're getting a ton of sacks. It is going to be, I would be willing to bet that they're in double digits this week. I think they're the safest play. They're super cheap. Tags, I was going to ask you to bet on this, but we do need to place an outside bet on our Fantasy Pros Insiders game. Davis, have you seen that A-Rod mirror picture? You know what I'm talking about?
No, uh-uh.
That's what I said. Okay. I was what are you talking
just
about?
Just go ahead and Google it. I'm not going to explain it on the show, but I was going to bet you that, Tags. But instead, let's just go back to the all double or nothing on Mitch Trubisky being my profile picture. You can put Blake Bortles as your profile picture if I win.
I think we should let our followers. So if you're listening, I know you guys always come up with this stuff and you thought me and Bobby played last week, but we're playing this week. So I think you guys should come up and send us your suggestions. Send at Mike Taglier NFL on Twitter. Let me know at Bobby Fantasy Pro at us and let us know what you think the loser should have to do. And don't say the combine. We already have a bet on that. Try and make it a little bit lighter than that. But it should be a good game. But,
I'm favored by 19 points. I checked this morning, so it's really not going to be a good game.
I don't care about projections. I don't care about projections. Those things are whack, yo. all right, so we have to go. Let's go to the GPP side. Let's start talking about some tournament plays.
All right, Davis, who stands out in GPP defense for you?
The Saints. I think people just think of the Saints as not a good defense, and they would rather play the Jaguars, they'd rather play the Ravens, they'd rather play the Eagles, they'd rather play the Vikings, the Seahawks. But Bryce Petty, let me tell you guys, he's not good. He's really, really not good.
I consider the Saints for cash games. They're probably my number two, so I think that's a really good call. You know, I like the Houston Texans. They're super cheap, and Blake Bortles has been playing good lately. But, like, who's to say Blake Bortles isn't going to turn back into Blake Bortles all of a sudden and throw a couple pick sixes? Houston, for this cheap, I know their pass defense has been really bad, but, you know, they're going to stop the run. So Bortles is going to have to throw a lot. It could get ugly.
Definitely could. And, I think a lot of the defenses that I consider in cash, those are the ones that I primarily touch on tournaments as well. But we do have the outsider ones that we've talked about. Like, the Ravens are awesome. I think the Vikings are good. If you want to go down, like, I think Davis hit it with the Dolphins. I think that's a good cheap play, especially if for whatever reason Tyrod doesn't play, because Tyrod does take a lot of sacks. He doesn't turn the ball over very much, but Peterman, he takes sacks and turns the ball over. So if for whatever reason Peterman plays, go that way. But if Tyrod plays, I lower my expectations a little bit.
Now let's go tight end here. And I'm thinking Greg Olsen, everyone is so upset. He's got 4 receptions all year. Would it surprise anyone if he goes for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns?
It'd be a little surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not expecting or anything, but I'm looking at these guys who have a chance to do it. I think he has a chance to do it, and he's pretty cheap. I think David Njoku has multiple touchdown upside against Baltimore this week, and nobody's talking about him. But besides that, there's really nothing I like here at GPP. Maybe Mercedes Lewis, because he's done it a few times already, and Houston's not good against the pass, like we said, but there's not much I like here.
Yeah, no, I mean, Greg Olsen, we know that his ceiling was high, but this year, what has he caught? 4 passes all year? That's the problem with him is that, yeah, I think it's similar to Sammy Watkins last year where he's trying to play through this foot injury. It's really bothering him. It's affecting his production. That's my concern. But in a tournament, there's definitely worse things you could do. Because Greg Olsen, if he does turn out to be the player that we've all known and loved, he can do that. But with that being said, Green Bay has been like the best defense in the league against tight ends this year. They've been really, really good. I think that Vernon Davis is a sharp play. And, okay, you know, we've talked about, we were talking about the Cardinals and what they're going to do with Patrick Peterson, but we didn't, like, looking over everything with Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, you kind of forget about Vernon Davis, right? He obviously showed up last week, caught a touchdown.
Kirk Cousins forgot about Vernon Davis, too.
He kind of has in a weird way, and I don't know why, but Arizona, they've allowed, I think it's 4 different tight ends to score at least 15 fantasy points against them this year in PPR format. So at 3,900, I think Vernon Davis is a solid stack with Kirk Cousins. And honestly, you might be able to do a Cousins, Crowder, and Vernon Davis stack.
Interesting. Davis, do you have a tight end that you like for GPP?
I mean, it's just Gronkowski, isn't it? Because he doesn't fit the normal roster construction people will want to spend up on one of the wide receivers. So I just think, like always, he'll come in a little bit too under-owned.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Ertz is a good play, too. I think people forget about the fact that Ertz has played with Nick Foles for the first 2 years of his career. He played with him, and he played actually pretty well with him when he was targeted. So there is somewhat of a connection there. The matchup against the Giants is obviously fantastic. So, and then you have Delaney Walker with the revenge narrative against the 49ers, a team that he played for like 20 years.
Guys, at wide receiver, there are 3 plays that I am really excited about this week. For whatever reason, I mean, Devontae Parker has been playing bad lately, but are we going to say Devontae Parker doesn't have big play upside? Like, I think Devontae Parker could have a huge game. He's $5,900.
I'm kind of off Parker.
I mean, you should be, but I'm saying that there is a big game in there somewhere.
Well, Buffalo hasn't been like a team to allow very many big games to wide receivers. Like, if you look in a standard format, there have only been, I think, 5 wide receivers who have hit double digits against them, and all of them got double digit targets. So if you're looking for double digit targets out of Devontae Parker, I don't think you're going to find them. He's kind of fallen out of favor. Yeah, and if the weather is bad, it's a game where they shouldn't be throwing a whole ton. And betting on Jay Cutler, again, to continue playing at that level, I think it's a mistake. Because, like, I've been there. I love Jay. I think he had all the potential in the world, but I've moved on. I understand that Jay is just a very inconsistent quarterback. And I just think you could find better plays, like a Randall Cobb, for example, playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Randall Cobb, yes. That was one of my other guys, man. Like, do you guys realize he led the team in receptions when Aaron Rodgers was healthy the first 4 weeks?
He did, but he wasn't scoring at all.
Yeah, he wasn't scoring, but that's not to say he won't score.
Oh, right. No. I don't think he's a bad play at all. Another cheap wide receiver in tournaments, Corey Davis at 4,100. He's someone I've kind of moved on from, but at 4,100, you're not taking very much risk, and he's going to...
I'm on board with that one. Just like the game's got to come for him sooner rather than later. You're just eventually.
4,100 is a great price, but I don't know. I mean, Corey Davis, I'll get some exposure, yeah, but he's not one of my favorite plays.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's what we're talking about, like tournament here, where it's like I'm definitely not going to be over like 10% ownership on Corey Davis, but I do think he's a guy that's going to be like under 5% owned. That we know what his ceiling is. We know that the talent's there. I just think, honestly, I don't think it's on him necessarily. I think it's been on Marcus Mariota and the fact that he hasn't played to his ability this year. Davis, is there anybody, you know, what cheap plays at wide receiver would you look to go to, like Keelan Cole interest you, or is there anybody else down there?
Keelan Cole. Yeah. Like, I mean, if I'm going to posit that Blake Bortles is a playable option this week, how can Keelan Cole not be a tournament option? Like, I just think that's definitely
true. I love Keelan Cole, man. Keelan Cole is a good football player.
Is it possible that everybody's kind of overlooking Marquise Lee and that he's like the play on the Jaguars this week? Because I know a lot of people are loving Westbrook.
Well, is he good to go? Is he healthy?
Apparently. I mean, he's practicing, so that's always a positive. But The only week that he really didn't produce or didn't see a lot of targets was the game against Patrick Peterson, and I really don't blame Bortles for avoiding him in that game. So I don't know. He's
Lee is safe, but they don't use him down the field, man. Bortles has been taking a lot of shots down the field, and it's all been to Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook. I just don't see a huge game coming from Marquise Lee. Like, I think he's a viable cash option, if he's healthy, that is. The one other play I want to talk about is Marquise Goodwin. I thought when you said Marquise, I thought you were going to say Marquise Goodwin. Like, he hasn't got any touchdowns, but he's racking up the yards. You throw a touchdown or two in there, he might just be a top five wide receiver this week. I know Tennessee gets after the quarterback and everything, and I already talked about that, how I think they're safe, but I could see a big play or two happening against them, and Marquise Goodwin's the guy there.
Marquise Goodwin is totally due for some touchdown regression in the positive sense. The Titans secondary isn't one of the better ones in the NFL. As a matter of fact, it's one that you can pass on pretty much all day. I know they've been getting pressure, as Bobby mentioned, on quarterback, but Marquise Goodwin, 783 yards this year, one touchdown. There isn't a wide receiver with more than 660 yards who has one touchdown. Like, it's by far and away, like, he's got the most yardage without a touchdown. Jamison Crowder is the next on that list, which is obviously the reason I like Crowder. There's so much regression here built in for these guys. What do you guys think about Alshon Jeffrey against the Giants? I know, nobody wants
to love him. Think he's cash playable at that price. Think he's the same thing as AJ Green, just too cheap.
Alshon.
It feels great. And that's the thing is, like, the Giants secondary without Janoris Jenkins is a joke. So he's one of those, he's a type of player you could just kind of throw it up and let him win those jump balls. So I think Foles should learn to fall in love with Alshon Jeffrey relatively quick. So
let's move on to running back tags. I think it starts with your boy Derrick Henry, right? He could have a huge game. What if they give him 20 touches against San Francisco? Like, he could go 200 yards.
He could. I think him and DeMarco Murray are actually tournament plays, like, viable, because even though DeMarco Murray sucks and he shouldn't be playing right now, and that Derrick Henry is my preferred option in a PPR league like DraftKings, if this game is competitive and they have to throw a little bit, DeMarco Murray can catch some passes. So yeah, I do think that possible that DeMarco Murray does, in fact, like, maybe he gets those three, man, it's another three touchdown game. It's very possible with the way things have been going with the Titans this year. So I do think him and Henry are both in play. I also think Duke Johnson's a fantastic play at 4,400 on DraftKings. You know, with the Ravens, the game script right here should favor the Ravens. I don't see any way that Isaiah Crowell is able to get anything going on the ground against the Ravens defense at home. So I do think that Duke Johnson's in play in tournaments at 4,400. McCaffrey is another one. Is there anybody that, like, you're really loving in tournaments this week, Davis, that you really maybe wouldn't trust in cash?
Mike Davis for 4K, definitely one of them. I think you have to give him a look. And I guess McKissick too, even at the exact same price. Think maybe Jamal Williams is getting a little bit overlooked just because people seem to have some concerns about Aaron Jones, but Jamal is just the guy. He had seven targets last week, all the groundwork, rushing touchdown in three straight games. I think he's just, in fact, he's like a great tournament play. He's like a great play.
He's really an excellent tournament play. People are going to be scared off by Carolina and everything and thinking Aaron Rodgers is coming back. They're just going to pass so much. I could see Williams having a nuts game again. I also love Mark Ingram. Everyone's talking about Alvin Kamara, and Mark Ingram's in there. He might get 20 carries. He's going to get the goal line work probably. That's going to be a great game script, and they might take it easy on Kamara. So I could see Ingram having like a 25, 30-point game here.
We should never overlook Mark Ingram. And I think I've learned that lesson before when they played Carolina, when they both kind of went off, even in a tough matchup against Carolina, because the Jets it's a tough place. It's a tough matchup. They've allowed just 3.57 yards per carry on the year, only six rushing touchdowns through 13 games. Like, they've played really, really well against the run, but the game script does favor Ingram. So I don't think that he's out of play for tournaments, but he's been a little dinged up too, because I remember he was questionable last week. So
yeah,
this could very well be that breeze week that that Davis has been talking about. So McCaffrey, I think, is a solid play in a game that's a potential shootout. If Aaron Rodgers does put points on the board and it forces Carolina to drop back and pass a little bit, McCaffrey at 6,000. Did you know, like, the stat I had of McCaffrey is that I want to say that it's like only 21% of his PPR points have come from rushing totals. Like, it's something ridiculous. I'm going to look it up. So
that's amazing. I also want to remind you all, Jay Ajayi We talked about him in cash games. I would definitely use him in GPP. I mean, he's one of my favorites in GPP. And you mentioned Mike Davis. He's awesome in GPP, but we talked about them pretty extensively in cash games. The only other one I really like is Latavius Murray against Cincinnati. They're 11-point favorites against a beat-up defense. Murray's going to get a bunch of carries in this game. He's going to get goal line work. So if he gets multiple touchdowns, he could have a really big week. I mean, of course, getting multiple touchdowns is easier said than done, but there's a chance that he does it, and you can't really say that about too many other guys.
Yeah. The stat I had on McCaffrey, by the way, was that only 43.9 of his 184 PPR points have come via running the ball. So he's, when you're rostering him at 6,000, you're essentially rostering a wide receiver who might score you, you know, 5 points on the ground from time to time. But I think he's a phenomenal play at 6,000 in tournaments.
Now, for GPP for quarterbacks, I'm looking here, and there's really nobody that stands out to me that we haven't already talked about. I like Cam Newton every week for GPP, but we talked about him for cash games. Blake Bortles, I don't think he's going to have a big game, but you know, you could hit value there, and if you, you know, crush value with a running back and wide receiver or whatever, you could win a GPP because I think he's pretty safe. But there's really no one who stands out to me. Davis, is there someone here that we haven't talked about?
No, I think we covered most of the guys. I guess probably we haven't talked about Garoppolo at all, and just that offense is playing so fast, and Garoppolo's looked pretty good. And if he connects with Goodwin on one of those deep ones, like he's like if he throws an 80-yard touchdown to Goodwin, he probably hits the 300-yard bonus. Like that's probably a lock. And if he does that with two touchdowns, he's probably a little undervalued.
Yeah, it's not a bad matchup for him at all. Bobby, you mentioned him on the show yesterday. I think Case Keenum is someone that you should consider for tournaments, especially if Drake Kirkpatrick and Vontaze Burfict are out. You saw what Trubisky was able to do to them last week. Keenum's playing like a man out of his mind. Latavius Murray, I don't think we mentioned him. Another solid play. But we have not talked about, I don't know how we haven't, but we haven't talked about Tom Brady. Is nobody here contemplating playing Tom Brady against Pittsburgh? I know that I am.
I'm going to guess you have to, yeah. He's been bad, so not in cash games, but yeah, GPP, great call.
Yeah, I mean, if this game doesn't have snow, I'm playing Tom Brady. And honestly, even if it has snow, I might not fade Brady because he's shown the ability to throw in the snow before. It's just the winds that would concern me, and if it's like the level of Buffalo snow that we had last week. So pay attention to the weather with him, but Brady is a tournament play. Like, if that game has semi-decent conditions, he's going to throw three touchdowns minimum. Like if you look at what the Steelers have allowed without Joe Hayden, it's been pretty brutal. Missing Shazier hurts the defense as well. But Flacco, 269 and 2. Dalton, 234 and 2. Brett Hundley, 245 and 3. Mariota, 306 yards and a touchdown. Like you just go down the list and they've been brutal. Jacoby Brissett, 222 and 2 touchdowns. So I'm saying I think Tom Brady's a lock for 303 touchdowns if the game has decent conditions. I know he costs quite a bit. You're paying $7,600 for him on DraftKings. But yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to fade him. I think people will think, oh, he's not going to have high ownership because of the way he's played the last 2 weeks. But I'm not betting on Brady to look that way again. With Gronk back, you definitely want some exposure to Brady.
He's playing through that Achilles injury too, but you know, if there's anyone I'm going to play in the snow, it's obviously Tom Brady. Didn't he rack up like 5 touchdowns in the snow in like a 50-0 win a couple years ago?
Yeah, him and Randy Moss. I remember that game like it was yesterday. That was so awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. The one name that I do want to mention, Blaine Gabbert, and I'm sure that's going to make you mad, Davis. I'm sorry, but you know, going up against Washington, I think he does have a big game upside. He's not my favorite here, but I think he's someone that you should get some exposure to. Maybe even Mariota.
Ugh, Mariota's so bad. He's so bad.
Yeah, you're definitely right. But if he gets 2 rushing touchdowns with 250 yards and a passing touchdown, like that's a good play.
Yeah, he's probably, I won't go back. Just, he's looked so bad. I just don't want to test it.
I agree with Mariota. I've kind of been there. I don't even know if his upside, I don't know if he has the ceiling that you would want in a tournament, but Kirk Cousins, that's one. I know, Bobby, you mentioned it in cash, but I love Cousins. You have the Cardinals defense. It's something that's so, and I touched on the last show, and I'm going to make sure I pound it into your guys' heads, is that when a team travels across the country, it does a lot of things to teams. Like, it's a very underrated thing. You saw the Redskins go into last week's game against the Chargers, and they looked like garbage. Arizona, when they travel to the East Coast, they've looked like garbage. They're playing in Washington. Kirk Cousins at home this year has averaged 295 yards passing, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, averages 22.7 DraftKings points per game. game there. That's 5 points higher than it's been on the road. Again, Kirk Cousins, people are forgetting how good he's been this season with Josh Doctson on the field, without Terrell Pryor. The offense is just moving smoother. Arizona stops the run extremely well. Yeah. It's going to be tough for P. Ryan to get things going. So I think Cousins is a fantastic play.
I think that's a good call as well. Well, guys, that's all for today's show. Davis, we really appreciate you joining us. It was fun, man.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
And remember, we've got the free roll going on, guys. FantasyPros.com/DraftKings. $1,000 to give away. No strings attached. FantasyPros.com/DraftKings. And thanks to the sponsor of today's show, TeamRankings.com/FantasyPros. So you can get up to 75% off, plus free offers on 2017 bowl picks. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait,
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.